again. The elders and the ministers here at the Henderson Church of Christ, I'm really, really thankful for this opportunity. So again, my deepest gratitude. So like Ray said, this evening we are talking about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. But before we get started, let me ask you this question, and this is going to be kind of interactive tonight almost, but how many of you have ever tried to bake bread? Raise your hand. Have you ever tried to bake bread? Okay, so a fair amount of the audience. Okay, I remember about this time maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, I tried to bake unleavened bread with my friends because I thought, A, it would just be interesting, and B, it would be a whole lot easier than trying to, you know, let the dough rise and all this other complicated stuff. If you bake bread, you know what I'm talking about. It's a complicated process. So we go to the store, and I pick up, little did I know this recipe online was a terrible recipe, but we're going to get there in a sec. I pick up wheat flour and olive oil, and I thought that was going to be it. So we get to Scott Hall because Benson doesn't have a kitchen. So we get to Scott Hall and start to use his kitchen. And I knead out the dough. I mix the flour with water, and I put some olive oil on it. And we lay it out, and it was hideous looking, and it tasted just as bad when we got done with it. We get it in the oven, and so it gets out of the oven, and, you know, I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. It's going to be the best thing I've ever had. You know, I'm going to be a great baker. So I pull it out of the oven. I take a bite, and it was terrible. Absolutely terrible, and it was disgusting, and I ate a third of it out of spite, but that's beside the point. But I tell you this to say this, bread is difficult to make, and so those who can make bread, give me a baking lesson. That was pretty much the entire point of that story, but here's the thing. If you ever were to take me out to a restaurant and say, okay, let's go to Logan's or some other place that brings bread out before the dinner, 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to eat my meal, or at least all of my meal, because I am full of bread, because bread is heavy, and bread fills you up. So, like I said, we're talking about bread tonight. So if you have your Bibles, let me see them. Let me hold them up. Okay, if you have your phone, that's going to be perfect. Ooh, this section. Good job. All right, so tonight, like I said, we're going to be in John's Gospel. So if you have that, we're going to go there in a second. But before we do, here's the verse for tonight. It's John chapter 6, verse 35. It says, I am the bread of life. This is Jesus talking, by the way. And it says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So before we tackle this idea of bread, we're actually going to start in the Old Testament. Before we even get started, I just want to pray again real quick and kind of open up the floor for God to do some really cool things tonight. So if you wouldn't mind, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for the blessings, God, that you have rained down upon us. Father, we come together, God, in a place of absolute freedom. God, we held up our Bibles, God, and I pray that that's a testimony to the fact that, God, we live in a country, God, that we can actually do this. Father, let us never take that for granted. Father, I pray that tonight the things that I say, God, are completely of you. Father, the things that I say that God, are not of you, that they would fall to the ground. But Father, I pray that you open doors, Father, in you, open hearts tonight. God, we invite your spirit to invade this place. God, we are abundantly thankful for you, God, in the sacrifice that your son made. God, it's through your resurrected son, Jesus, we all pray. Amen. All right, so again, if you have your Bibles, we're actually not starting in the Gospel of John tonight. We're actually going to start with the Israelites. So if you have them, Exodus 16, that's where we're headed. And so I know it's a big jump. Front to the back. So if you have your Bibles, let me put this in context before we actually start reading anything, though. So Exodus 14, we find the Israelites, they have crossed the Red Sea, and they're in the wilderness, and they're headed for the Promised Land. So the Israelites, though, are kind of a bunch of whiners. They're in this wilderness, and they're kind of lost, and they're saying, you know, Moses, we were in Egypt. You know, we had food. Sure, we were in slavery, but we had food all the time, and we had water all the time. Moses, take us back. Now, they find themselves grumbling, but here's the thing. Through all their grumbling and through all of their worry, God still provided for them. And so here's what I want you to see. They're complaining about being hungry, and here's what God says in Exodus chapter 16, in verse 12. He says, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. I love this because it's the attitude that we all have far too many times. You know, we could just sit back and wait, but too often we get so excited and so worried about God. And if we would just sit back and wait and pray, he'll provide. And that's what he's about to do for the Israelites here with this thing called manna. So God introduces this thing in verse 15, and he tells Moses to say to them, or Moses says to them in verse 15 of Exodus chapter 16, he says, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." They find this stuff on the ground, and you guys probably know the story. It's this thing called manna. It's to sustain them. They have manna and they have quail. But here's what I want you to see. So I want you to skip down to verse 35 of Exodus 16. Here's how this chapter ends, but this is just where our journey begins here tonight. I just kind of want to lay down the foundation of what manna was and kind of what it is. But here's what I want you to see. So if you underline in your Bible, or maybe you can just mark this page, because we're going to come back here later tonight. But Exodus chapter 16 and verse 35 says this. It says, "The people of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan." Okay, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to John chapter 6 next. So now we're headed to where we're really talking about tonight. So before we get started, though, I told you it's going to be kind of interactive tonight. How many of you know the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? Raise your hand if you've ever heard it before. Okay, so I'd say most of us, but let's do a little recap real quick. Here's what happens. They show up. Jesus has kind of achieved this almost rock star status of the time. So everybody knows who he is. They're following him around. They're kind of hanging on every word. They're kind of waiting on him to do something else. And he kind of takes them to this place, and they sit down, and they say, "All right, well, I mean, we're here. Jesus, say something." So he kind of looks around. He says, "You know, it'd be nice if we had some lunch." So he kind of looks at Philip, and they kind of have this banter, and they talk. And he says, "You know, Philip, you know, Jesus, I don't know how in the world we're going to feed all these people. We couldn't find the money for it. There's no way this is going to happen. We don't have the groceries for it." And then Andrew spots a kid with his Lunchable, you know, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And then Jesus kind of goes from there. He takes the food, and he blesses it with God, and he says, "You know, here we go." And so they start to hand out food to these 5,000 or more people out of these bottomless baskets. And when everybody had eaten their fill, they kind of collected all the food, and they had 12 baskets left over. So this is kind of sets up the context. And then right after this, the disciples leave. Jesus walks on water. And then here's where we are at tonight. So John chapter 6 and verse 22 is where we're going to start. It says, "On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into their boats and they went to Capernaum seeking Jesus." That's really important, so I want you to remember that point. They're seeking him. "And when they found him on the other side, they came to him and said, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' And Jesus answered them, saying, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves.'" These people aren't seeking the real Jesus. They're seeking just to get another meal. They're seeking just to fill their bellies. And they aren't seeking the glory of God, but they're seeking just some more lunch. But is this not us, though? Is this not who we are far too often? I don't know about you, but too often I'm caught up seeking God for what he can do for me and not what I can do for him. Too often I find myself saying, "God, I need an A on this test, or I need you to fix this friendship or this relationship or this place in my life." And I'm not saying, "God, I need you to use me to share a gospel." That may just be me, but that's where I'm at. And time and time again, I feel like we all find ourselves looking to fill our hunger with things that don't really nourish us. We work so hard to build up this facade for ourselves, but in all actuality, God just wants us to be desperate for him and just to need him. You know, I think back to Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus teaches us how to pray. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Not only is this one of the most memorized pieces of scripture, you know, I'd be willing to say that at least 95% of you could recite it, but here's the thing. Jesus speaks complete truth when he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I really honestly don't think he's talking about food right here. At least for this lesson, I don't think he is. But what is your daily bread? What is the thing that gets you through each and every day? But is it, I don't know what it is. Is it an interaction? Maybe it's seeing your kids, your friends. I don't know what it is. But I sat back and I was thinking about this lesson and the wheel started turning. I said, how many days have I not thought about God once in one day? You know, I go to Christian university, but how many days have I not stopped to pray? not started my day praying or missed an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus or missed an opportunity to pray with somebody. You know, being a follower of Jesus isn't easy. And I think back to Proverbs 37 through 9, which TJ read earlier, but I want to read it in a little bit different light. I want to read it out of the Message, and I know the Message is a paraphrase, but take it as you see fit. It says this, it says, "And then he prayed, 'God, I'm asking for two things before I die. Don't refuse me. Banish lies from my lips and liars from my presence. Give me enough food to live on, neither too much nor too little. If I'm too full, I might get independent, saying, God, who needs him? And if I'm poor, I might steal and dishonor the name of my God.'" Now, read that in this different light, because shouldn't we have this attitude of saying, God, don't give me too much, and God, don't give me too little. God, sustain me. God is a God who provides enough. You know, what's it going to take to satisfy you? I'm here to tell you that until you can be truly satisfied by Jesus alone, I don't think that you're really following Jesus. I know that's probably tough to chew on, but until you can be like Job and have everything absolutely stripped away in your life and still follow God. Because I think back to Job and I think to a guy who, through everything that could possibly ever go wrong, he still was faithful. You know, what does it take to satisfy you? Pick back up in verse 27 of John chapter 6. It says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." They said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? Or what work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who," listen to this tense shift here, "it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." This is so incredible. You know, and I was blessed with the opportunity to get back up here, or to get up here last semester and talk to you guys about the woman at the well. And I love the way John kind of uses the language in his gospel, and he says, you can't be satisfied until you know Jesus. It's so incredible. It's so raw. It's so real. The reality is, though, that as human beings and as finite creatures, we are all seeking deeper things. Each and every day, and I don't know what it is you are seeking or what it is you are trying to be fulfilled with, but the honesty of it is that we are looking for deeper things. And until we realize that Jesus is the answer to the things that you seek, I don't think you can truly ever be satisfied. Because true religion is satisfaction with God alone. I look at verse 35, which is the text really that Ray kind of gave me for tonight. It said, "Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst.'" Now, the crowd couldn't, and we can't hear the gospel in this sentence, because I believe, honestly, if you look at it, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ all just kind of packed up into one verse. But we can't hear it because we are looking for different bread. We're looking in different places. I recall earlier when we talked about the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said these people couldn't see the signs and the miracles because they were looking for the loaves. Is that not us? Is that not my story? Is that not your story? And how long is it going to take before we see the reality of what Jesus and what his gospel is? The reality is, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is our manna. Jesus Christ is the thing that God has sent from heaven to sustain you and to sustain me. He's given us something to fill us. You know, earlier we talked about the Israelites, and I told you to remember this one verse, Exodus 16, 35. If you don't remember it, here it is again. It says, "The people of Israel ate the manna for 40 years until they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna until they came to the land," or they came to the border of the land of Canaan. God provided for the Israelites until they completed their journey. You know, and through all of their abandonment, through all of their grumbling, God relentlessly provided for them. And that's exactly what God has done for us. Skip down to verse 47 of John chapter 6. It reads, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that no one, or that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the world is my flesh." When Jesus says here, he's saying, guys, I am the bread of life. He's not saying, hey, I'm the appetizer before the main course. He's not saying, hey, I'm the bread and the meal's on its way. No. Jesus is what fills us. Jesus is the thing that sustains us. Only Jesus can really satisfy you. Everything else just is going to leave you hungry. You know, honestly, I'm not really sure where you're at spiritually tonight, and this is not a call for you to start packing up. Here's what I do know, brothers and sisters. I know you're hungry. I know you're looking for deeper things. I'm here to tell you that if you're looking for answers, you can only find them in Jesus Christ. You can look anywhere else, and I'm sure you have tried to look other places, but until you follow Jesus Christ, you can't find the answers you're really looking for. You know, maybe you've been a Christian for 50 years, and maybe you are an Ebenezer to the fact that Jesus Christ has the answers. Or maybe you've never met Jesus, and you are hungry for something deeper, something more. He alone can satisfy. Or maybe you're at a place in where a lot of us are at, a place of confusion. You know, Jesus once satisfied, but too often Satan has me shackled to something else. I'm here to tell you that only Jesus Christ can liberate. I don't really know where you're at tonight, but here's what I do know. I know you are hungry, and I know you are looking for fulfillment. So whatever you do need, I pray that you would come forward as you stand and as we sing.